fingertips. Last bottle of Jack, we split a fifth. Just talking about life, going sip for sip. Yeah, you know you love to fight. And I say shit I don't mean, but I'm still gonna wake up on you and me. I know that last night we let the liquor talk. I can't remember everything we said, but we said it all. You told me that you wish I was somebody you never met. But baby, baby, something's telling me this ain't over yet. No way it was our last night. No way it was our last night. No way it was the last night that we break up. I see your taillights in the dust. You call your mama, I call your bluff. In the middle of the night, pull her right back up. Yeah, my friends say let her go. Your friends say what the hell. I wouldn't trade your kind of love for nothing else. Oh baby.
The entertainment you want, the information you need. Locally owned and operated, we are Real Country. 1430 AM stereo, WRDN. Durand, Plum City, Elkmount, and 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH Durand. Real
Coming
Country.
Up next, please stay tuned for It Is Written, presented by Pastor John Bradshaw.
This is It Is Written. I'm John Bradshaw. Thanks for joining me. When something truly devastating happens, a person's life can be profoundly affected. When a province in the Middle East was invaded, a teenager was captured, his family killed, and his home destroyed. You can imagine the impact that would have on a young man's life. But the nightmare continued. Forcibly taken from his homeland, he was pressed into slavery in a foreign country, robbed of his dignity, immersed in paganism, and educated to advance the interests of the country responsible for destroying his own. Think about how you might react in a situation like that. You might plot and scheme. You might attempt to escape. But not this young man. He remained committed to his beliefs, steadfast in his allegiance to his God, and he did the very best he could in his new environment. There's a lot of trauma in the world today. In 2022, according to a Gallup poll, almost 1 in 4 adults in the United States visited a mental health professional. There are around 700,000 divorces a year in the United States, 1.2 million violent crimes, 1.4 million emergency room visits owing to assault, almost 25,000 homicides, and more than 3,000 burglaries a day. That's a lot of people going through a lot of stuff, people dealing with a lot of trauma, people going through life dealing with a lot of hurt and a lot of pain. And as a result of traumatic experiences, people can be tempted to believe that God has abandoned them, that heaven's promises are not real, that life is hardly worth living. But of course, that's not true. What we're about to see is that tragedy need not be the end. It need not be the breaking, but it can be the making of a person. We're going to see that God can bring good out of even devastating experiences. We're beginning a series of studies on the book of Daniel, a book that came out of crisis and defeat. It was written by a Jewish man at a time when all Israel was at its lowest point. The 10 northern tribes had been dispersed, conquered by Assyria, and assimilated into the surrounding nations. And then, as God promised, Judah was captured and taken into captivity for what would turn out to be 70 years. Daniel rose up in the midst of all of that, refusing to allow his own devastating personal experience to derail him. Instead, he leaned in towards God, and God used him in such a powerful way that more than 2,500 years later, people all over the world are being encouraged and blessed and guided by his life and ministry. His story is recorded in the Bible and speaks to us today in this world of conflict and uncertainty. Here's what the Bible says as it recounts this story. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Some scholars claim that the book of Daniel was not written by Daniel, but by someone later, maybe hundreds of years later. But that simply can't be possible. Much of the book is written in the first person. It was obviously written by someone very familiar with Babylon in the 6th century BC. Nobody writing after that time would have had the insight of Daniel, a man who lived in the midst of it all. And most importantly of all, Jesus stated that Daniel wrote the book of Daniel. He said, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand." This is the beauty of being able to read the text for yourself. The default reaction, I think, is to respect scholars and researchers and academics. But some scholars and researchers and academics, not all, I don't mean all, some deny the virgin birth. They deny the creation account, deny the miracles of Jesus, deny that there was a global flood in Noah's day. You might be surprised that there are numerous Bible scholars who are not Christian. So don't be surprised when someone with a PhD doubts the plainest statements in the Bible. Just don't you make that same mistake. Judah was conquered by Babylon in 605 BC, and that defeat suggests that Judah's God had been bested by the gods of Babylon. But of course, God was not defeated, and nor will he be for that matter. It might seem that down through the years, heaven has taken some tough shots. In many places, the church is shrinking. Fewer people than ever in North America identify as Christian. The same is likely true for the entire Western world. God is openly mocked in the media. More and more people believe the totally implausible idea that everything you see came from nothing. That long ago, nothing at all exploded. And so everything from the Himalayas to the Sahara Desert to the prairies of North America all resulted from an explosion that occurred when nothing exploded. It seems that God has been losing ground. But what we know is that God is going to be okay. We know how the story ends. It ends gloriously with God being seen to be God. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had big plans for Daniel, but so did God. Nebuchadnezzar was looking for children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Daniel was destined to become a Babylonian. In an attempt to have him take on a new identity, even his name was changed to honor a Babylonian god. And the intent was that he would spend his life advancing the kingdom of Babylon. But while Nebuchadnezzar had big plans for Daniel, God had bigger plans. And Daniel was to learn that sometimes when God has big plans for you, those plans come disguised as challenges. It wasn't long, and Daniel found himself in an impossible situation. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time, they might serve before the king. While he was earning a degree at the University of Babylon, Daniel was being asked to compromise his faith and eat the cafeteria food, as it were. But Daniel and his friends simply couldn't do that. The Babylonians ate unclean food, and they would not. Some of that food was likely offered to idols. The animals on the menu hadn't been killed in the manner God said animals for food should be killed. And it would have been luxurious food, unhealthy food. It was just plain bad for them. And Daniel understood 600 years before Paul put pen to paper that his body was the temple of the Holy Spirit. He knew that if he wanted to excel physically, emotionally, academically, and spiritually, what he put in his body mattered. Because he understood his body was not his own, but belonged to God, Daniel was committed to looking after his health, and he didn't want to do anything that would harm him or hinder his development. The wine he was served would have been intoxicating, and there was no way Daniel and his friends were going to drink alcohol. even if their lives depended on it. In around 600 BC, Daniel was following advanced medical ideas. Many people today, 2,600 years later, don't have any understanding of principles of temperance, and they think they're fine eating and drinking just whatever they want. And when the doctor comes with bad news, it's an overwhelming surprise, as though it never occurred to them that it might be a good idea to be careful about what you put in your body. Recently, a host of news outlets reported that half of U.S. cancer deaths are avoidable, that alcohol is a driver in several different types of cancer, that lifestyle factors are causing a huge amount of cancer in the United States and certainly throughout the world. Daniel knew what the American Cancer Society is telling us today. What you put into your body matters. In the New Testament, Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Daniel would honor God in everything, even his diet. For a lot of people, that's going too far. But is it really? After what Jesus did on the cross? Every Christian you know has heard that Jesus said we are to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Here's an example of someone doing that. Putting God first, not compromising, not taking shortcuts in faith, not pretending it doesn't matter if you don't give God all. Daniel showed it matters. His full-on commitment to God was recognized as God then blessed Daniel and used him in a way he has never used another human being. It's one of the most intriguing passages in all of the Bible. Jesus is asked a simple question by some of his closest friends, and the answer he gives points them to the signs of his return. Join me for great chapters of the Bible, Matthew chapter 24. It was Jesus himself who told us to watch for earthquakes and pestilences and famines and wars and rumors of wars. He said, as we see them, we could know that his return is near, even at the doors. He did not give us the day or the hour of his return, but Jesus encouraged us in Matthew chapter 24 again and again to be ready for his coming. Join me for great chapters of the Bible, Matthew chapter 24, and hear from Jesus about the necessity of being ready for his return. Great chapters of the Bible, Matthew 24, brought to you by It Is Written TV. Thank you for remembering that It Is Written exists because of the kindness of people just like you. To support this international life-changing ministry, please call us now at 800-253-3000. You can send your tax-deductible gift to the address on your screen, or you can visit us online at itiswritten.com. Thank you for your prayers and your financial support. Our number again is 800-253-3000, or you can visit us online at itiswritten.com. It can be challenging to honor God when all of the people around you are not doing so. But when you're the lone star of faith in a galaxy of unbelief, that's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to shine, an opportunity to let people see what God can do in a life. It's an opportunity to show the world what faith looks like. Don't be afraid to live your faith, even if it means being the one who's different. Let people see the difference God can make in a life. It might be that when everyone at work is drinking at the Christmas party and you choose not to, that someone will draw strength from your example. When everyone's laughing at the dirty joke and you choose not to engage, someone will notice and it'll matter. The Holy Spirit will speak to them. Like Daniel, your situation won't only be for you, but for the others who will notice and be drawn to Jesus. And like Daniel, your trial might simply be God's way to lead you to something greater for him than you can imagine. Daniel was a captive. Nobody would want to be in his situation. But even in that daunting situation, God was preparing Daniel to be one of the most significant characters in all of biblical history. The book of Revelation builds on the book of Daniel. It's not a stretch to say that if there was no book of Daniel, there'd be no Revelation as we know it today. God could see the big picture. Daniel was going to go through some hardships, but he went to Babylon as a missionary. God had huge plans. He chose Daniel to be the one who would go to Babylon and not lose his way and represent God and let the light of heaven shine. Daniel's bold stand that day could have cost him his life and the life of the man with responsibility over Daniel and his friends. He said, "I fear my Lord the King, who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king." But Daniel said, "Please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants." So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. Put us to the test. Just give us 10 days. And Daniel's confidence in God was vindicated. We can learn from that. You can stand for God in those tough moments. If you have a big God, there's no need for you to wilt or backtrack. We'll never know what Peter lost by denying Jesus. How different might his story have been if he'd said, "Yes, I do know him. He's a close friend. I'm one of his disciples." When 400 prophets lied to King Ahab and told him what he wanted to hear, a lone faithful prophet named Micaiah told the king the truth. If he'd wilted under pressure, God would have been robbed of glory. God's ways bring results. And at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Daniel stood on God's principles, and he excelled. If you want an edge, go God's way. You want an edge in the boardroom, in the courtroom, in the trading room, in the lunchroom, in the weight room. Follow God's path, even in the bedroom. For years, research has shown that married couples have a more satisfying physical relationship than those who are in a relationship without being married. You thought playing the field was where the fun was? No, that's where you got rejection, confusion, frustration, and medication. God's way is proven to be the best way. And it's interesting that Daniel was thousands of years ahead of his time. He knew God had an optimal diet. Diet fads come and go today. Keto, eat tons of fat. Tons of fat is bad for your heart. The carnivore diet, that's better known as the "I hope you have a good cardiologist on speed dial" diet. It excludes everything that Daniel ate. Instead of a fad, you could look at the Daniel diet. Fruits, nuts, grains, and vegetables. The diet God gave Adam and Eve. But wait, what did Daniel do for protein? Well, he got it from fruits, nuts, grains, and vegetables. You know, no one seems to worry about elephants not getting enough protein. And they don't eat meat. You never did see a weak elephant, or a weak hippopotamus, or a weak rhino. Rhinos somehow manage to get plenty of protein. And if you eat how Daniel ate, you'll get plenty too. If you want something that works, follow Daniel's example. Now, of course, there's one in a million or one in 10,000 who can't do that for medical reasons. So if you're the medical exception, don't do it. But that's the exception, not the rule. Even when it seems you're far from God, you're not. The Bible is filled with stories of people who took a leap of faith. Gideon was asked by God to lead an army of just 300 against an innumerable foe. And he did, and he was triumphant. Noah was asked by God to build an ark, a boat, so he and his family could ride out a storm in a world where rain had never before fallen. And he did, and he and his family and the world was saved. Life can be like that. Sometimes you have to take a leap of faith. after you've received all the necessary instructions, after the equipment has been checked, you take a leap of faith. Grow your faith in God and in His Word. Don't miss the Leap of Faith, brought to you by It Is Written TV. Daniel and his friends were in captivity, hundreds of miles from home, and God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And here's something interesting about the story of Daniel. As far as we know, Daniel never gained his freedom, and he died in that foreign heathen land. We don't read about Daniel's riches or prosperity. We read about attempts on his life. We read about envy. We don't read about fame. We read about a man whose life wasn't lived for his own self-aggrandizement. His life was lived for God's honor. Can you live your life like that? What if God said, "I don't want you playing professional sport. I want you serving me instead." Or, "My plan isn't that you earn millions of dollars. My plan is that you become a missionary or a gospel worker." Would that be okay with you? He might not say that. But what if he did? "You would honor me more, not by working as an actor, but by doing something faith-oriented." In fact, that very thing happened to a young man I know. He appeared in several movies. He was primed to hit the really big time and walked away from it all to pursue a career in ministry. He followed God's call. Are you okay with your life being lived for God's honor? No one ever chose God's path and ended up worse off. Now, the devil will tell you you'll be worse off. That's how we got into this mess. Eve said, "We're not allowed to eat that fruit." The devil said, "Go ahead, you'll be better off. You'll be as gods." And that got hold of Eve. Wanting something that sounded more grand than God's plan for her, she found out that selfishness is not liberating, but it's slavery to sin. You don't lose when you surrender your life to Jesus. And we see that in the book of Daniel. We'll look at much more of the rest of the book later. In Daniel 1, a captive plucked from his homeland, his manhood stolen, forced to dwell in the midst of raw paganism. He stood up for God while he was still a teenager and saw God work miracles. He risked insulting the most powerful monarch on the planet, but God blessed him. He was streets ahead of the other young men in Babylon, miles ahead of those who ate the king's fancy food. Look how this concluded. "Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the Lord inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm." 10 times better. And this was just the setup for Daniel, the preparation, the test. If he passed this test, what might the future hold? In Daniel 2, faithful Daniel interpreted the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel's three friends, encouraged by the way God had blessed them, went into a fiery furnace in chapter 3 rather than compromise their faith. And they survived. In Daniel chapter 4, Daniel interprets another dream for the king. And the king is converted. The mightiest monarch on the planet was converted through Daniel's ministry. In Daniel 5, the writing is on the wall, and Daniel interpreted that mysterious script. In Daniel 6, King Darius is tricked into writing a law that leaves Daniel trapped. He honors God just like he always has and ends up in a den of lions. But God protects Daniel, and he miraculously survives his night with the hungry big cats. Go further, Daniel 7, where once again Daniel is given a view of the rise and fall of nations and events that will happen in the end of time. He's given an outline of the rise of the man of sin and the great conflict of earth's last days. The rest of the book of Daniel fills out that picture even more. And where did it begin? With a teenager abducted from his homeland and taken as a slave into a godless foreign country. And because Daniel chose to be faithful to God in the first great test that came to him, God blessed him again and again and again. The book of Daniel is a remarkable book. It contains what's been called the master key to Bible prophecy, and we'll look at that in the next program in this series. It reveals a God who knows the future. In fact, this one chapter of the Bible has enough in it to challenge any atheist, to shake up any agnostic, and to strengthen the faith of any Christian. In Daniel chapter 1, four young men taken from their homes, robbed of their future, deprived of their independence, and they trusted in God. That trust set Daniel up to be one of the most significant of all Bible writers, and therefore one of the most influential men in all of history. Where are you struggling to be faithful to God right now? What can you surrender to God? Is there a challenge in your life at this moment that's shaking your faith or shaking your resolve? It doesn't have to. If you'll dare to be a Daniel, if you'll ask God to fill you with His Spirit, if you'll trust God to be God and to do for you what you can't do for yourself, you'll see heaven move in ways you've never witnessed before. There's something I really want you to have. It's a resource I've written dealing with the very subjects we are studying in this series of programs on the life of Daniel. It's absolutely free. I hope you'll get it right now. The stories in the book of Daniel are prophetic in nature, revealing key events that will take place in the world in Earth's last days. The stories of Daniel speak to issues that are now unfolding before our eyes. To get today's free offer, The Stories of Daniel, call 800-253-3000. That's 800-253-3000. You can request The Stories of Daniel online at iiwoffer.com, iiwoffer.com. You can write to the address on your screen or text FREE DANIEL to 71392. Text FREE DANIEL to 71392. The Stories of Daniel, faith-building stories given by God to prepare you for the major events of Earth's last days. The Stories of Daniel. Call 800-253-3000. Go to iiwoffer.com or text FREE DANIEL to 71392. Grow your faith as you prepare for the return of Jesus. Let's pray together now. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the example of Daniel, this young man who stood for you, who was bold and brave and decided, this young man who surrendered, giving us an example of what people planning to successfully navigate Earth's last days must do. And I'm wondering about your heart, friend, right now. Where are you with Jesus? Is it time to make a stand, a commitment, a surrender, a recommitment? Is God calling to you? I believe He is. Are you resisting that call? Only you know. Would you say in your heart right now, God, take my heart, make my life your own, prepare me for now and for eternity. Dear Father, you've seen decisions made. And if someone has hesitated, paused, decided not to move forward in faith right now, I pray you'd go after that person, speak to that heart, give that person opportunity after opportunity while there is still time to be truly yours and ready for eternity. We thank you for Jesus, through whom we have the gift of salvation. We thank you for the cross where Jesus bore our sins. We receive from you now His righteousness, and we thank you for the promise of everlasting life. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm looking forward to seeing you again next time. Until then, remember, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
You've been listening to It Is Written, presented by Pastor John Bradshaw. We hope you have been blessed and that your faith in God has been renewed. Join us again next week at the same time on this station for It Is Written with John Bradshaw. This program was produced by It Is Written, all rights reserved. It Is Written is a faith-based ministry. Thank you for your letters and continued support. For more information, please visit our website, itiswritten.com.
Hello, It Is Written supporters and listeners. Pastor Ivan Remokal here of the Durand Seventh-day Adventist Church. Thank you for supporting our sponsored program, It Is Written by John Bradshaw, here at WRDN every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. If you have any questions or wanting to have Bible studies, you can contact me with my number 715-279-4213. Again, 715-279-4213. Also, you can come to our church at W6733 Church School Lane, Durand. Again, our address is W6733 Church School Lane, Durand. May God bless you all.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some morning clouds will give way to sunshine, breezy northwest winds, up around 30, even 35 at 40 miles per hour. Highs reaching the lower 60s. Tonight we'll have clear skies, lighter northwest winds, and also some areas of frost. Higher work health insurance costs again. Call 800-693-9308 to find lower rates. It's 53 at our studios.
It's Sunday morning on Real Country 1430 WRDN. We take you now to 1032 Prisel Street in Durand, Wisconsin for the Faith Lutheran Church morning services.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship on this fall day. It feels like fall outside, and it's my favorite season, so I'm happy for that. Today we begin a new sermon series. Our theme this month is covenant, so we're going to be looking at the covenants that God has made with God's people. And each week we'll have a specific word that we focus on that's pulled out of Scripture. And so today is the word established as we look at the story of Noah post-flood. So excited to unpack that theme with you this month. Our radio sponsor today is J.J. Becky and Briella Northrup, sponsoring in honor of Bob and Sandy Freustad's 40th wedding anniversary. This is a photo of them walking out of Rock Creek Church 40 years ago today. They had a celebration yesterday, and I was able to go and say a prayer with them and eat a delicious cupcake. So it was exciting to celebrate, and we give thanks for this sponsorship and congratulate them on 40 years of marriage. A reminder that we're still collecting photos for the photo board in the narthex, and there's still plenty of room for your photo. So if you want to submit one of you and your family along with names on the photos, it's a good way to help us get to know one another. In a couple of weeks, on October 20th, we'll be having blessing of the animals. So if you haven't been around for this before, if you have an animal that can come on a leash or in a crate, you can bring them along to be blessed. Otherwise, we ask that you submit a photo and the name of your pets that you would like to have blessed, and we'll have that as part of the slideshow on October 20th. That day, we'll also get to meet Deja, the service dog, who was the Paschal pup that we raised money for a couple of Lents ago. You might remember that. They finally got their dog, and her name is Deja, and so she'll be here in person for a special blessing. Our dream team at Faith meets tomorrow at 7 p.m. On Wednesday, we have another Faith Lift Learning Night right after school from 4 until 5:30. And then Wednesday evening, we will not meet this week for youth group, but we'll pick it up again next week at Club 10. So next Sunday, we're having a pulpit swap. So you won't see my smiling face up front, but you'll get to meet Pastor David Hoadley, who serves as the associate pastor at Osseo Evangelical Lutheran Church. As we come off of our theme of being good neighbors to one another, we remember that we're also neighbors to a lot of other Lutheran churches, and sometimes those churches need our support. And so I am starting a 3-month administrative interim position with Osseo. And what that means, I did that a couple years ago with Central Lutheran when they were in transition. They used to have two pastors, a senior pastor and associate pastor at Osseo. The senior pastor took a new call, and now they're realizing that they're in a position to really just need one pastor. And so they're back in the call process, and it's possible that their current pastor will be called as a new senior pastor, but right now he's an associate pastor, and so it's a different role, and they need to go through the call process. And so I'm working with them sort of in place of the senior pastor just to help them through the transition part. And it's helpful when you do that to meet the congregation and have them get to know you a little bit and build a little trust. So next Sunday, Pastor David will be here to meet you and lead worship, and I'll be there to meet the people in Osseo to lead worship. And take heart, when you're doing an administrative interim, they cannot call you as their next pastor. It's in the contract. So I'm not going anywhere. I'll be back on the 20th, but it's just a good opportunity to see the congregation and encourage them in their transition. So Pastor David will be here next week, and I hope that you'll welcome him and help him learn the ropes a little bit. Our Oof to Dinner is coming up at the end of this month, October 26th. There are tickets back there for sale in the Narthex, and also if you want to lend a helping hand that day or the couple days before, there are still opportunities to sign up to do that. And there is a new way to give. If you use Venmo and you want an easy one-click way to give your offering, that is on the bulletin, and you can just click there and just note that it is for faith. Are there any other announcements this morning? Then we're going to begin with our thanksgiving for baptism. You interested in pouring water in the font this morning for our blessing? Okay. We're just pouring it in here as a reminder of the promises held in the baptismal waters. Let us give thanks for all of God's mercies, which are ours through the promise-filled baptismal waters. O God, our covenant friend, you have been gracious to us through all the years of our lives. We thank you for your loving care, which has filled our days and brought us to this time and place. You have given us life and reason and set us in a world filled with your glory. You have comforted us with family and friends and ministered to us through the hands of our sisters and brothers. You have filled our hearts with a hunger after you, and you have given us your peace. You have redeemed us and called us to a high calling in Christ Jesus. You have given us a place in the fellowship of your Spirit and the witness of your church. You have been our light in the shadows and a rock of strength in adversity and temptation. You have been the very spirit of joy in our joys and the all-sufficient reward in all our labors. You remembered us when we forgot you. You followed us even when we tried to flee from you. You met us with forgiveness and unending mercy. Your love bathed us in the life-giving water, sealed us by the Holy Spirit, and marked us with the cross of Christ forever. For the baptismal covenant you made and kept and daily renew, we give thanks. I invite you to stand as you're able as we sing together our opening hymn here in this place. The words are on the screen and in your blue hymnal, 718. Now is the darkness vanished away. See in the space our fears and our dreamings, brought here to you in the light of this day. Gather us in the lost and forsaken, gather us in the blind and the lame. Call to us now and we shall awaken, we shall arise at the sound of our name. Are the young, our lives are a mystery. We are the old who yearn for your face. We have been sung throughout all of history, called to be light to the whole human race. Gather us in the rich and the haughty, gather us in the proud and the strong. Give us a heart so meek and so lowly, give us the courage to enter the song. Here we will take the wine and the water, here we will take the bread of new birth. Here you shall call your sons and your daughters, call us anew to be salt for the earth. Give us to drink the wine of compassion, give us to eat the bread that is you. Nourish us well and teach us to fashion lives that are holy and hearts that are true. Not in the dark of buildings confining, not in and some heaven light years away. Here in this place the new light is shining. Now is the kingdom and now is the day. Gather us in and hold us forever. Gather us in and make us your own. Gather us in, all peoples together. Fire of love in our flesh and our bone. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, searcher of our hearts, you have established us as your people and sanctified us through baptism. As we gather to worship you and to enter anew into this everlasting covenant, remind us of your steadfast love for all humanity. Let your Spirit impress your truth on our inmost being and receive us in mercy. For the sake of your mediator, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated, and I'll invite the children to come forward for a children's message. And you can have a seat. We're actually going to watch a little video this morning, so find a place where you can see one of the TVs well. Good morning. I like your pumpkin shirt. It's very in season. You want to sit here on the floor? You can, or at one of the pews, as long as you can see one of the TVs, you're good. Good morning. Come on over. How are all of you this morning? Tired. A little tired. Yep. I hear you. So there isn't Sunday school today or next week, but then we'll pick it back up. But don't worry, I have something to show you this morning, and then I have a little project for you that you can work on during the rest of the worship service, because I need your help decorating that window back there. Today we're starting to learn about covenants. Have any of you ever promised something to someone? Have you ever said, I promise I'll do this, or I'll be this, or do-? Yeah? What are some of the promises you've made? Can you think? Do you know what you've said, I promise to do? Promise to help out? Okay. What about you, Wyatt?
I promise, like, to do all my chores on time, and mm-hmm. I may have to do it more than once.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah. Oakley, did you promise something? Do you know what? You promised to play with Olivia and not fight. When I married my husband, I made some promises to him. Some time ago now, 23 years? I honestly lose track of time, but yeah, 23 years, that sounds right. We have these times where we make promises, and sometimes, as humans, it's hard to keep our promises, and so sometimes we have to ask for forgiveness and try again. But God has made a lot of promises with God's people, and God keeps God's promises. And those are special promises about staying in relationship with us, and they're called covenants. And so I found, as we start this theme about covenants, I found a really great video that I think some of the adults will learn from too, because I did, about some of the covenants that we find when we open the Bible and read scripture.
Of having a personal relationship with God, which could mean different things in the Bible, like having God as a friend, or your father, or maybe your teacher.
But there's one particular way that the Bible talks about this relationship that you find all over. But strangely, we don't talk about it that much, and that's the idea of a partnership with God.
A partnership like working alongside someone to accomplish a goal together.
Right, and this is actually what you see at the beginning of the Bible. God creates this good world full of all of this potential. And then God appoints these unique creatures, humans, as his partners in bringing more and more goodness out of all that potential.
But the humans don't want to partner with God. They rebel and try to create a world on their own terms.
And so this broken partnership is the Bible's explanation for why we're stuck in a world of corruption and injustice and the tragedy of death.
It's not like there's just one or two humans who have bailed on this relationship. In the story of the Bible, everyone has abandoned the partnership with God.
So what God does is select a smaller group of people out of the many, and he makes a new partnership with them called a covenant. And in a covenant, God makes promises, and then in exchange asks his partner to fulfill certain commitments. And the purpose of all of this is to somehow use this covenant relationship to renew his partnership with everybody else.
Now, there are actually four times in the Old Testament that we're told God initiates a covenant relationship with Noah, Abraham, the nation of Israel, and King David.
And it's through these that God is forming a covenant family into which all people will eventually be invited.
So let's see how these work. The first one is with Noah.
So in this story, God has just brought the flood to cleanse the world of humanity's corruption, and Noah and his family are the only ones left. And so God makes a covenant with Noah, saying, "Listen, I know that humans will continue to be evil, but despite that, I'm not going to destroy it like this again. Instead, the earth will be this reliable place for us to work together."
Great. So what does Noah have to do?
Nothing. And that's what's so interesting about this first covenant, is that God is promising to be faithful, even though he knows humans won't be.
The next time we see God make a covenant is with a man named Abraham. God chooses him, promises to bless him, give him a large family, lots of land where they can flourish.
And in return, God asks Abraham to trust him and train up his family to do what is right and just. And the whole reason for this covenant is God says that somehow he's going to bring his blessing to all families of the world through this one family.
So that's Abraham. The next time we see God make a covenant is when Abraham's family grows into the tribe of Israel.
And this covenant is with the whole tribe. God asks them to obey a set of laws, which are these guidelines for living well as a community of God's partners. And if they do this, then God promises to bless them and that they will become a people who then represent him to the rest of humanity.
That's the covenant with Israel. The last covenant is with King David.
Yeah, the tribe of Israel has become this large nation, ruled by David. And God asked David and his descendants to partner with him by leading Israel in obeying the laws and doing what is right and just. And God promises that one day, one of David's sons will come and extend God's kingdom of peace and blessing over all the nations.
So those are the four covenants that God makes in order to restore his partnership with the whole world.
But here's what happens. Israel breaks the covenant. They worship other gods, they allow horrible injustice, and so they lose their land and are forced off into exile.
So it seems hopeless. But during this time, Israel's prophets talked about a day when God would restore these covenants in spite of Israel's failure, somehow.
Yeah, they called it the New Covenant. And this is actually what's so interesting about Jesus, is that he's introduced into this story as the one who fulfills all of these covenant relationships. We're told that he's from the family of Abraham, and so he will bring the blessings of that family to the whole world. We're told that he's the faithful Israelite who is able to truly obey the law. And we're told that he's the king from the line of David, and so he goes about extending God's kingdom of justice and peace to all.
And that's really remarkable for one guy.
Yeah, and what it highlights is perhaps the most surprising claim of all made about this man, that Jesus is no mere human, but rather God become human. And God did this in order to be that faithful covenant partner that we are all made to be, but have failed to be. And so through Jesus, God has opened up a way for anyone to be in a renewed partnership with him.
So Jesus calls people to follow him and become part of this new covenant family.
And despite their failures, Jesus is committed to making them into partners who are becoming more and more faithful.
The story of the Bible ends with a vision of a fully renewed world, full of goodness and peace.
And there's this renewed humanity there, partnering together with God to expand the goodness of his creation. And so the end of the Bible story is really a new beginning.
All right, so that was a lot of information. You don't have to understand it all because we're going to kind of slowly learn about it over the next month. But the first story that we're going to hear from the Bible is about Noah. So what do you know about the Noah story, Noah and the Ark? Anything you know about it, Wyatt?
God floods the world so then he can cleanse all the sins and removes everything, but Noah talks to God and follows what God has told him.
Okay, and what does God tell Noah to do? Yeah.
We build a boat and then sail, and so then he doesn't get killed by the flood.
Okay, so build a big boat so that he can be safe in there. What else is in the boat with him? Does anyone know? Yeah, Olivia?
Animals.
Animals, a lot of animals, right? And how does Noah know when the flood is done? Do you know? Yeah. Yeah, he sends a bird out, yep. Very good. Yeah, he brings back a dry leaf and they know that there's land again, right? That the floodwaters have receded and gone down. And then what promise, what sign of this covenant does God show to Noah and his family in the sky? And we still see these a lot when it storms outside. Anyone know? Bennett, do you know? What's that? We see rain, and sometimes if it's partly like really dark and cloudy on one side of the sky and really sunny on the other, one of these appears in the sky. Emmy? A rainbow, right? Okay, so we're going to learn a lot more about the rainbow during the sermon, but what I want to give you to do during the rest of the worship service is I'm just going to give you this blank sheet with a rainbow, and I'm asking you to color them beautifully, whatever you want, whatever colors, and then we're going to hang them on the window back there so that we have them up for the month to remind us of the promise that God has made to us, okay? That God will never flood the whole earth again, and God will continue to be in relationship with us. So back in the playground, there's a bunch of colored pencils and there's crayons, so you can come and go from there as you need colors to color these, okay? And help us tell the story of God's promises to us. Does that work? Okay, I'll collect them from you at the end of worship, so try to get them done in the next little bit of time, okay? And Olivia is going to take these back to the playground and hand them out to you. How's that sound? Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Emmy?
Can you color the background?
Yeah, you can color any part of it that you want. All right, thanks for coming up. And while you're doing that, you'll hear the story of Noah in just a couple minutes. Thank you. Yeah. All right. It's all good. All right, we'll continue with our centering song. What was that?
Does a rainbow make? What kind of song does it sing? Oh, it's a happy kind of melody, and it brightens everything. When morning stars all sang together, God up in heaven heard their song. That's why He'll always keep my soul.
invite you to stand as you're able as we welcome the word.
Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Genesis chapter 9. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. As we set out on this next month to explore the theme of covenant, we begin, biblically speaking, at the second beginning. After God had cleansed the earth through a massive flood, saving Noah, his family, and all the animals. And we find God making a covenant with God's people. Understood theologically, a covenant is defined as an agreement, which brings about a relationship of commitment between God and God's people. And so a covenant, in a theological, biblical perspective, goes beyond a passing promise made or a renegotiable set of rules and regulations. A covenant, in this case, is centered on relationship. Throughout the next 4 weeks, through our scripture readings, we will discover that God's covenants with God's people are established, steadfast, everlasting, and sanctified. These descriptive words have staying power, and they give us a powerful witness as it relates to the God who created us and still claims us. So in today's scripture reading from the book of Genesis, as well as the other scripture readings that relate to covenant, we notice that all of the action lies with God. When we pay attention to the verbs that put these stories into motion, we find that it's God who is making the moves, God who's encouraging people to do what is necessary to keep this covenantal relationship strong. It's God who repeatedly mentions the covenant in this part of Genesis. In just the 10 verses that we heard, God speaks of a covenant 7 times. In 10 verses, God uses the word covenant 7 times. This repetition drives home the point that this covenant is made with all of creation in mind, right? God says throughout those 10 verses, it's between me and you and your descendants and every living creature and the earth and every living creature of all flesh and all flesh, just keeps repeating over and over, saying it in all these different ways. And that's pretty inclusive, right? God maybe could have left out mosquitoes and cockroaches and a few of those things, but our God does not discriminate, like it or not. So I wonder how many of you first learned the story of Noah's Ark in Sunday school, just a show of hands. Most of you maybe Sunday school years, right? That was like, and it still is, a favored story to teach, right? It's so easy to put pictures to color. We got rainbows, we got animals, we got an ark. And that was my case as well. And so I wonder if you were to recall the story of the post-flood rainbow in the sky that you first learned as a child, you might recall being taught that God told Noah and his family, when you see a rainbow in the sky, it will remind you of this covenant that I made with you, right? Like that